Part 1. Cotton Mather. Chapter 1. Human Hierarchy. They weathered brutal winters, suffered diseases, and learned to cope with the resisting Native Americans. But nothing brought more destruction to Puritan settlements than the Great Hurricane of 1635. On August 16, 1635, the hurricane, today judged to be perhaps Category 3, thundered up the Atlantic coast, brushing Jamestown and passing over eastern Long Island. The storm's eye glanced at Providence to the east and moved inland, snatching up thousands of trees like weeds. In the 7-year-old Massachusetts Bay Colony, the hurricane smashed down English homes as if they were ants, before reaching the Atlantic Ocean and swinging knockout waves onto the New England shores. Large ships from England transporting settlers and supplies were sitting ducks. Seamen anchored one ship, the James, off the coast of New Hampshire to wait out the hurricane. Suddenly, a powerful wave sliced the ship's anchors and cables like an invisible knife. Seamen slashed the third cable in distress and hoisted sail to cruise back out to a safer sea. The winds smashed the new sail into rotten rags, recorded notable Puritan minister Richard Mather in his diary. As the rags disappeared into the ocean, so did hope. Abducted now by the hurricane, the ship headed toward a mighty rock. All seemed lost. Richard Mather and fellow passengers cried out to the Lord for deliverance. Using his own immediate good hand, God guided the ship around the mighty rock, Mather later testified. The sea calmed. The crew hurriedly rigged the ship with new sails. The Lord blew a fresh gale of wind, allowing the captain to navigate away from danger. The battered James arrived in Boston on August 17, 1635. All 100 passengers credited God for their survival. Richard Mather took the deliverance as a charge to walk uprightly before him as long as we live. As a Puritan minister, Richard Mather had walked uprightly through 15 years of British persecution before embarking on the perilous journey across the Atlantic to begin life anew in New England. There, he would be reunited with his illustrious ministerial friend, John Cotton, who had faced British persecution for 20 years in Boston, England. In 1630, Cotton had given the farewell sermon to hundreds of Puritan founders of New England communities, blessing their fulfillment of God's prophetic vision. As dissenters from the Church of England, Puritans believed themselves to be God's chosen piece of humanity, a special, superior people, and New England, their Israel, was to be their exceptional land. Within a week of the Great Hurricane, Richard Mather was installed as pastor of Dorchester's North Church near the renowned North Church of the New Boston, which was pastored by John Cotton. Mather and Cotton then embarked on a sacred mission to create, articulate, and defend the New England way. They used their pens as much as their pulpits, and they used their power as much as their pens and pulpits. They penned the colony's first adult and children's books as part of this endeavor. Mather, in all likelihood, steered the selection of Henry Dunster to lead colonial America's first college, Harvard's forerunner in 1640. And Cotton did not mind when Dunster fashioned Harvard's curriculum after their alma mater, Cambridge, setting off an ideological trend. Like the founders of Cambridge and Harvard before them, the founders of William and Mary, 1693, Yale, 1701, the University of Pennsylvania, 1740, Princeton, 1746, Columbia, 1754, Brown, 1764, Rutgers, 1766, and Dartmouth, 1769. The other 8 colonial colleges regarded ancient Greek and Latin literature as universal truths worthy of memorization and unworthy of critique. At the center of the Old and New England Greek library held the resurrected Aristotle, who had come under suspicion as a threat to doctrine among some factions in Christianity during the medieval period. In studying Aristotle's philosophy, Puritans learned rationales for human hierarchy, and they began to believe that some groups were superior to other groups. In Aristotle's case, ancient Greeks were superior to all non-Greeks, but Puritans believed they were superior to Native Americans, the African people, and even Anglicans, that is, all non-Puritans. Aristotle, who lived from 384 to 322 BCE, concocted a climate theory to justify Greek superiority, saying that extreme hot or cold climates produce intellectually, physically, and morally inferior people who were